Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into the Owana Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Owana Inquirer publisher, here with you. And today on the podcast, we will focus entirely on Illinois against Purdue. An 11 a.m. kickoff, the home opener for Illinois, and for the Illini trying to get the bad taste out of their mouths after a very disappointing 45-7 loss at Wisconsin. And for Purdue, they're trying to get off to a 2-0 start after a disappointing 4-8 season last year. Purdue beats Iowa 24-20 in their season opener without Rondale Moore, their best player, and without Jeff Brohm, who was positive for COVID. He was out last week. So Brian Brohm, his brother, was the play caller and acting head coach in that game, and Purdue still finds a way to get a win. And Purdue, with Wisconsin's issues with COVID right now, could kind of look at this Big Ten West race and think they have a chance at this. Of course, Illinois has long thought that they could be in that race as well, but a lot of doubters, of course, after a 45-7 loss at Wisconsin. And for these two programs, this is a little bit of a measuring stick game. These are two programs who, for the longest time, really most of this decade, have been towards the bottom of the Big Ten, and especially their division, what is now the Big Ten West. And Illinois last year beat Purdue, as Purdue had a down year, partly due to injuries, but not entirely due to injuries. And for Jeff Brohm, he's trying to show that the first 2 years of success, getting to bowl games, getting in the top three of the Big Ten West, that will continue as he gets more and more of his recruiting classes in here. And of course, Illinois is looking to climb that ladder. Last year, get up to fourth place in the Big Ten West, and a division that seems up for grabs with a lot of parity in it. The Illini don't get off to a good start, and obviously looking to get that behind them and get a win and kind of cleanse their palate a little bit. But despite both their struggles here recently, Illinois has not had a lot of head-to-head success against Purdue. They haven't won back-to-back years since 2002. So as my friend Lante likes to say, it's time for Illinois to update that stat. Purdue has won 11 of the last 15 games between these two teams, and they have won four straight in Champaign at Memorial Stadium. But between these two teams, they've only had two top three division finishes since 2012. And of course, Purdue has both those. In 2017 and 2018, they finished tied for third and tied for second. Also, they have five of the last six last place finishes in the Big Ten West. So the Big Ten West has been a thing for 6 years. These two teams have accounted for five of the last place finishes. Northwestern last year was the first other program other than Illinois and Purdue to finish last. So of course, Illinois has a lot to correct after their first game. We've talked about that with Jay Layman yesterday on the podcast. Today, let's get more of an inside look at Purdue. Tom Dienhart covers Purdue for goldblack.com. You probably know him. He's covered the Big Ten at large for btn.com and for other national outlets. Tom has covered nationally college football. He knows Purdue really well. He's been in that area for a very, very long time. Let's get to know more about Jeff Brohm's team, Rondale Moore's status, the other star wide receiver on this team, and strides they're taking in the first year under defensive coordinator Bob Diaco. Tom Dienhart on Purdue next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast. And as we know, Illinois-Purdue will go on as scheduled, unlike Wisconsin's game with their current outbreak. And let's talk about the 1-0 Boilermakers who get a big win at Iowa in week one, despite not having Rondale Moore. And joining us now is Tom Dienhart, Rivals.com, Gold Black Illustrated. Tom, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Good to hear your voice, Jeremy. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be a roller coaster week to week. As you said, though, as of now, Purdue's still slated to come to Champaign for game number two, and a lot of anticipation on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Tom, before we get into what I think is a measuring stick game for both these programs that have been on down times for most of the last decade, what a big win that is against Iowa. What'd you think of that? What was the biggest takeaway or biggest surprise of that 24-20 win over the Hawkeyes?
You know, the fact that Jeff Brohm wasn't there, Jeremy, of course, he was in a 10-day isolation after having a positive test for COVID-19. What an X factor, right? How's your team going to perform in the opener without its head coach, without its alpha dog on the sideline? Of course, Brian Brohm, his brother, the offensive coordinator, co-offensive coordinator, took over, called plays, ran the team, and, you know, went off without a hit. So I thought that was a huge takeaway, a good sign for Purdue's leadership within. You know, personnel-wise, Jeremy, I think the play of David Bell continues to amaze. 13 catches, co-Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. And also, you know, while Bell was an easy headline, Jeremy, I think the defense – the play of the defense, new coordinator Bob Diaco, was really key. A few big plays were allowed. They got off the field on third downs, and they generated two turnovers. So far, so good for a defense that has to improve this year if Purdue wants to finish on the plus side of 500.
Obviously, the headline with Jeff Brohm's program is always going to be the offense, but I'm glad you mentioned the defense, Tom, because that was impressive. And I think it was the biggest question mark, right? After last year, getting a new defensive coordinator, you know you got talent up front with Lorenzo Neal and George Karlaftis, and Karlaftis is going to hear his name early in the 2022 NFL draft probably. But what'd you see out of that back seven, especially? Because and what'd you see from Bob Diaco and how he called the defense?
Yeah, you know, sort of a lot like Iowa's defense, honestly. It's more of a bend but don't break. They too want to give up, don't want to give up the big plays, make you earn your yards and your points by having meticulous multi-play drives. You talked about the line. They say they're too deep across the front, which is good. And I think we saw some of that depth Saturday. You mentioned two of the stars. I tell you what, maybe the biggest headliner, aside from Karlaftis, sadly, was a junior college transfer named DeMarcus Mitchell, who was all over the field, plays outside linebacker and also defensive end. He was a playmaker. He's going to have to continue to be a playmaker. As far as the back end, Jeremy, it's very good, I think. Has a chance to be special. A lot of veteran talent back there, one of the better cornerbacks in the Big Ten, Corey Trice. So there's a lot to work with there for Diaco moving forward.
Offensively, I think maybe some people were a little surprised that Aiden O'Connell won the quarterback job, a former walk-on that obviously had some good performances last year, but he beats out Jack Plummer. What did you see from O'Connell, and what does he bring at that quarterback position?
Yeah, Lincolnshire, Illinois, Stevenson High School kid, Jeremy, Chicago area. And this time last year, he was fourth string. Now he's Purdue's starting quarterback. A great story. He's not the most mobile guy, but the staff likes his arm. He has the best arm of the three guys who are competing for the job. You have to throw the ball downfield if you want to play Brahm's offense and execute it, and O'Connell can do that. He's also unflappable in the pocket. So, again, those are some of his biggest traits, I think. Again, not the most nimble guy, but on Saturday he showed enough niftiness in the pocket with his feet to buy time and let plays develop and to evade the rush. So, there's a lot to build on, Jeremy. You know, he started the last three games of 2019, showed some flashes then, and he's also shown the ability to rally Purdue to victories. He already has three comeback victories in his career, so there seemed to be a little magical, some intangible mojo about him, too.
And he gets to throw to pretty good wide receiver crew, especially if Rondale were available. First of all, Tom, do we know, can you glean anything from the status of Rondale? It seems like Purdue's been pretty evasive about everything with that.
I think you summed it up perfectly, Jeremy. He's out. That's what we're told. That's all we're told. He's out. He was on the sidelines Saturday in street clothes. You know, it's hard to get a read if he's healthy, if he's not healthy, if this is an off-field issue with, I don't know, dealings with an agent. Who knows? I mean, the speculations run rampant. And the anxiety is running thin, or I should say high, as you can imagine, among the fan base. They want Rondale back on the field. So, you know, right now, who knows, my friend? He's out. That's all we know. And, you know, I guess all I can say is keep your binoculars out and see if you find him on the field during the warm-up Saturday.
Well, no matter what, Tom, Purdue's got a number one wideout on the field, right? It's not like they're lacking for a big-time playmaker with David Bell there. What has impressed you most with him? Like, he's obviously different than Rondale, but how does Purdue use him, and why is he so effective?
He works on the outside, and you know what? He just catches everything. We talked to the wide receivers coach this week, and I asked him, what's the best thing David Bell does? And that was the first thing out of his mouth was he just catches the ball. He catches everything. He's not a blazer, but he's a competitor with great hands who does all the little things well and works extremely hard. And again, the fact he's a competitor and has great hands and just productive. And you know what? He always finds a way to get open. He's just one of those guys. Plus, he's a good person as well. So, yeah, he's the linchpin right now without more. And again, they've got some other nice options at wide receiver they want to continue to develop, and there should be no shortage of guys for O'Connell to look for on Saturday over Memorial Stadium.
I was going to say, Purdue threw it 50 times, and 13 of the 31 catches were by David Bell, but that means 18 went elsewhere. Even without Rondale, who are the other targets Illini fans got to worry about?
And get this, too. Bell was targeted 21 times Saturday. Can you believe that? Really, his sidekick was Milton Wright, a true sophomore from Louisville, built a lot like David Bell, 6'1", 6'2", 200-pound kid coming on. His hands have improved. A littler guy, Ahmad Anderson, watch him working out of the slot. T.J. Sheffield's a redshirt freshman they like. And, Jeremy, they even got a true freshman wide receiver on the field, sadly. A big kid from Detroit named Malik Carr. Almost looks like a tight end. 6'5", 230 pounds, if you can believe it. And they also, they will throw to their running backs. Their top running back, King Grew, didn't play Saturday. He had a hamstring issue. We're not sure if he's going to be available. No worries, because Xander Horvath took over, almost a Mike Allstott miniature. Just a bulky, strong guy who can catch the ball and run over people. He even leaped over a defender last week. So he's a nimble guy, sort of a throwback, almost like a fullback playing running back for the Boilermakers. He may end up having to carry the load again Saturday. Who knows?
I was going to ask you, because Tom, just to give you some background here, when I was in grade school, I had a Mike Allstott Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey because he's from Joliet Catholic and I'm from Manhattan, yep. Illinois, which is very close. And one of my friends, his cousin was Mike Allstott. So I just loved him. I loved the Bucs uniforms. I wore that thing out. You know, the numbers are peeling off. I still have it in my closet. But Xander Horvath, it is hard not to make that comparison, right? The 40 number playing at Purdue.
Yeah.
He's kind of an old school guy in that backfield.
You're exactly right. You weren't the only guy with the number 40 Bucks jersey, I'm sure. I remember watching all that at Purdue, obviously, and boy, how many times my jaw dropped and I would watch that guy emerge from a pile, still running the ball when you thought for sure he was tackled. So the exploits of a Ball Stud, Joliet Catholic, are legendary in West Lafayette and down in Tampa, obviously. And you're right, Horvath, I'm not saying he's Mike Allstott, but he's got a lot of those same characteristics. And you said right down to the number. So he's a fun guy. And you know what, Jeremy, just like Aiden O'Connell, Horvath came to Purdue as a walk-on. You know, he was headed to Indiana as a linebacker walk-on, came to Purdue. And again, that's two walk-ons that played big roles, two former walk-ons who played big roles for Purdue last weekend.
Just to get a bigger picture on Purdue, I mean, obviously they got to be happy after a week one win. But last year they dipped a little bit. I know Rondale's injury played a part. I know they had injuries a lot last year, but they go 4-8. They lose to a team like Illinois at home in that monsoon. What is this year for Purdue? How good can they be, or what are their expectations?
Yeah, Illinois embarrassed them last year. They said as much. Really took it to Purdue. You know, it's one, not to get off on a tangent, but I was doing some research. Purdue, I think, Jeremy's 8-2 in its last 10 trips to Illinois, which is bizarre. They've had a lot of success playing over there. This is, you know, like you said, last year was a disappointment, 4-8. You mentioned the injuries. That obviously was a big part of it. That went well beyond Londale Moore's absence, too. You know, I'm not seeing this pressure on Brohm to win, but I think people want to see some type of progress. I think when you look at the schedule, I think it's favorable. Cross-division games with Indiana and Rutgers. I'm not saying that that's light lifting, but it's better than playing Michigan, Ohio State. And I think there's a sense that schedule can be accommodating, and you'd like to think in a nine-game schedule, if Purdue can play nine games, that they can maybe finish 5-4.
So, Tom, what does this game mean for the Boilermakers, and what are the keys for them getting another win in Champaign?
Well, both teams probably think they can win this game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to win it, like I said, if you want to finish over 500, if you're Purdue, I think. For them to win, they're going to have to follow that same formula that I think they used against Iowa last week. They're going to have to be good up front on both sides of the ball, have some semblance of a ground game to keep the Illinois defense off balance. And they're still going to be pass heavy, but you got to be able to run, especially in third and short and fourth and shorts. And defensively, like I said before, don't give up the big plays. Make Illinois earn its points. I think Purdue's going to have to get probably at least one or two turnovers as well.
So just from the flip side of it, Tom, what do you think Illinois can try to attack? Like, what are Purdue's weaknesses?
I still think you have to test that the back end of that defense. Like I said earlier, I think it can be very good, but it's still coming together. There's some new moving parts back there, and they sprung some leaks last year. I know Brandon Peters struggled to throw the ball last week against Wisconsin, but still, you have to take your shots downfield, I think, if you're Illinois, and see if you can stretch out that Purdue defense, then get your ground game going too. I know Illinois did nothing on offense. Mm-hmm. I think the only defense was touchdowns on defense last week. So, again, stretch out that Purdue defense and then try to run it, pound it at the Boilermakers as well. If you get Mike Epstein or somebody rolling, maybe the offense can come to life for Illinois.
Kudos to Brian Brohm, right? His first win as an acting head coach. What's it mean to have Jeff back, though, this week?
It's big. You know, Brian's personality was a 180 from Jeff. Anybody who's seen a Purdue game knows how demonstrative Jeff is on the sideline, very emotional, likes to yell, shall we say. Brian is just a calm, cool customer, so it was a different personality. But still, yeah, having Jeff back is big. He's your leader. He's the cult of personality, as they say. It all orbits and spins around Jeff. And yeah, to have him back, I don't think can be understated. So again, that should provide Purdue with a little bit of lift going on the road for the first time this year.
Tom Dienhart, follow him on Twitter at Tom Dienhart one, covers Purdue for goldenblack.com. Tom, can't thank you enough, man. Good to talk with you.
Hey, you too, Jeremy. I appreciate it, buddy.
Great stuff as always from Tom Dienhart, goldenblack.com. Always appreciate his insight. I think this is a winnable game for Illinois. I watched, you know, the condensed highlights of the Purdue game, and Aiden O'Connell is going to give you some chances. He's going to give you some chances. He had two interceptions against Iowa, probably should have had one or two more. Iowa got their hands on a couple passes, weren't able to get those. I think David Bell is fantastic. Xander Horvath is really tough to bring down, so you're going to have to tackle. And I do think Purdue's defense looks improved. Karloftis is going to be a very high draft pick in a couple years. Lorenzo Neal is a really good Big Ten player, and Tom mentioned some of the other players, the JUCO players that they've added, who really helped them. But the Illini offense should have some opportunities here. It's on Rod Smith to put these guys in position to succeed, and it's on these players to win some one-on-one battles. I think the Illinois offensive line should be able to run against this Purdue team. Iowa had 195 yards rushing, and to be honest with you, I think Illinois – well, Iowa is known for its offensive line. I think Illinois should have an offensive line that is close to that. I think Illinois has some explosive running backs that need to get the ball. And I think Brandon Peters can find a lot of success on the ground. I wrote today about how Illinois needs to embrace Brandon Peters as this dual threat quarterback, and that maybe that can open up some running lanes for the other running backs. Maybe it can soften the defense a little bit on the back end. But you got to get the tight ends involved. Now, do you have to target Luke Ford 10 times? No, but you got to get those guys involved. Daniel Barker, Luke Ford. We'll see if Daniel Matorbebe is healthy for this one. But you also got to be able to find Donnie Navarro when he's open. You got to be able to target people other than Josh Matorbebe. And when you do target Josh Matorbebe, he and Peters got to connect. Whether it's Peters throwing it accurately or Josh Matorbebe coming down with a catch. He had a few drops the other day. They have to tighten things up here, of course. But I think Illinois has got a chance to win this game. But Purdue is good enough to maybe not do what Wisconsin did, but they can put up points on you. They're going to air it out. And you got to get a pass rush. We'll see if Isaiah Gay is available for this game. I asked Lovie Smith, and he didn't want to answer that. But we'll see if Isaiah Gay is there. But Lovie Smith's going to have to dial up some pressure. I do feel like Illinois' run defense will do pretty well. I do think this secondary can keep things in front of them as long as they don't make those huge busts in the back end. And I wonder if there's a personnel change, if Quan Martin starts over Derek Smith, or if Derek Smith corrected the things, Sidney Brown corrected the things on the back end, because Illinois did tackle well against Wisconsin. You just got to keep things in front of you and force Aiden O'Connell to put together long drives and to hopefully take advantage of those mistakes that he probably will make, and certainly did against Iowa, and Iowa didn't take full advantage of those mistakes. And credit to Purdue's defense, Diaco, like Lovie Smith, has a real focus on takeaways. And Mike Epstein's early fumble was a bad omen for Illinois, but it also put the Illinois defense in a bad spot. And it, you know, Illinois, after a first down throw to Joshua Matorbebe, it ruined some rhythm for them and put them behind right away, which obviously this team does not want to have. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. For the latest news and insight on Illinois football and basketball, including a big-time visit, unofficial visit for top 75 recruit and guard Ty Washington, Derek Piper, and Brian Snow have been all over that. Check out the latest at the site. You can get 50% off right now, a VIP pass for a year. That's more than $50 savings. So the latest in the line of basketball recruiting there. As I said, I got my piece on Brandon Peters, running quarterback, up today. So all the latest there at Illini Inquirer. We'll have our preview and picks for this Purdue game coming up as well. As always, appreciate you listen to the Illini Inquirer podcast. If you don't already, subscribe to us, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate that. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.